And welcome to Are You Game? This is a podcast for gamers. It's about gaming on the tabletop, on the tablet, and on the television, which includes gaming on the PC. And I'm Lindsay.
I'm Sean.
And my name is James. So let's begin today with our question of the episode. As we record this, Christmas is coming, not too far away. So let me set the scene for you guys, okay? You've sat down. Right. You've had your presents in the morning. Hopefully, lots of games. I hope.
Yeah.
You've sat down and you've had your massively oversized lunch, your traditional Christmas dinner, full of turkey and Christmas pudding. Okay. Yeah. Perhaps you have a little snooze. I don't know how you do things. And then middle of the afternoon, you say, "Okay, let's sit down."
We're giving away our age here.
I mean, I don't obviously, but I was just, you know.
Yeah, unbuttoned one button at the top of the trousers, unbuttoned, and then falling asleep ingloriously on the sofa. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Get to the question. So, I want to know is which game would you choose to sit down with your family on Christmas Day to play together? So, Sean, what game would you? What's the perfect Christmas family game for you?
Well, if I talk about my, I have to define the family because I've got if the younger kids aren't there because they're a little bit too young, then my parents, my partner, and so on, then the perfect game to play would be Code Names, the game of trying to guess. What words your partner is talking about. Have you heard of it?
Codenames. Is it a board game or a card game?
It's a card game-esque. It's sold as a board game, but it's essentially a set of cards which you lay on the table, and you play play in pairs, and in each turn, you play with a partner, and you everybody plays at once. So if there are four of us around the table, for example, there are two pairs. You have a card that tells you which words are your words, and you've got to relay those to your partner before the other pair relay their word, so to speak. So you'd see lots of random nouns like cheese, America, James Taylor, and then I would have to give you a partner a clue as to one of those words, and I could only say one word. So I could say, for example, say mouse, and that might lead the person to say cheese. But there are 25 words on the table in any one go, and you're trying to guess about five of them.
So it's like a kind of verbal Pictionary or something.
No, I wouldn't say it was Pictionary, because if there's one game we're not allowed to mention in our house at Christmas, it's Pictionary. Historically, it's just a game that we don't talk about in our house.
Okay. Move on, Lindsay. Don't go there. Move on.
Yes.
Move on. The great Pictionary disaster of 1992.
That's right year as well.
No, don't. Yeah, we don't want to open up any emotional scars. So move on.
No, go. Let's move on. I never did justice to describing games, I don't think. But go and just have a look at it. It's a fabulous game. It won Game of the Year a couple of years ago. And now there are various different sets of it. But honestly, you're supposed to be spies, hence the fact it's code. The word the code comes in, and you're trying to unspy things before your partner. But I think we bought it because it was Game of the Year, and in fact, the first Christmas we played it, which would be a couple of years ago now, we didn't play anything else. We just played it and played it and played it because it was so addictive. So that was what I would bring out.
Okay, thanks, Sean. So, Lindsay, what's your choice?
My choice would be this. I've actually done this recently, the past 2 or 3 years, is a tablet game. Well, actually, it's a phone game, available on iPhone and on Android phones. It's called Heads Up, and Heads Up is like you hold a phone to your head. I think both of you know it. I'll just explain for listeners. And there's a word that appears, and everyone has to help you guess what the word is, and then you kind of can shake or move the phone to get the next word. Now, that in itself is okay. They provide you a whole bunch of words, which are fine. But what is better is when you can unlock by paying like a dollar or something, unlock your own set of cards that you can make. So I did that. And then at Christmas, what I do is a couple of days before, I spend a couple of days making a list of 100 words for these cards that are relating to things that the whole family had done over the year. So it's the kind of stuff that you only would know if you were in the family, sort of code yeah. words, events, jokes, big things that happened. But if someone wasn't in the family, they wouldn't really get it. That mixed in with stuff like, you know, the name of the city where you're living and other things, you know, good things for the kids and stuff like that. And so I usually get 100 or 150 of those that I make in the set. And then after lunch is the big game of Heads Up, where no one's really keeping track of points. It's just sort of, you know, people passing the phone around. And meanwhile, I'm half passed out at the end of the table saying, since I made the cards, I'll just watch. And then I nod off with a glass of brandy in my hand, perhaps.
What a festive scene.
Lovely. The just watch part of that is very apt, because, of course, it videos while people are guessing, isn't it?
Yes, it can. You can have the option to video. If you don't know, this game is called Heads Up. There are many variations. I think this one was the most famous one, made famous by the Ellen DeGeneres show. But there are variations on it. What you want is one where you can make your own words, though. So that's the cool part.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Great suggestion, Lindsay. Okay. So for me, I'm going to go with something very new,
all right,
which I haven't yet tried with members of the family, but I can imagine it would work really well. So I'm interested in this thing on my PS4 that they've added this year, especially for seems particularly good for PlayStation Plus members.
Okay.
Which is the thing they call PlayLink. Right. I don't know if you've seen this.
There's a game, like there's a kind of spy game. Yeah.
Yeah. So what they've done is you can download apps onto your devices and then play on the devices while using the PS4 as like the main hub. And then so you get questions, which you then have to answer individually. And I think it's really interesting because they haven't sort of done this kind of thing before with the PS4. And so the game that I've got is the one that they gave me for free called That's You. And the idea is that you have to answer questions about the other people that are with you, right? Family and friends. So they'll ask, it'll be themed. And then they'll ask questions about, you know, things like questions about exams. And then they'll say, would this person help someone cheat on an exam and things like this? And you have to try and predict what your partner will say. It's a very simple premise, but it's beautifully done. I have to say, the game is really gorgeously designed.
So do I understand that everybody can join on their, do you say on the like the mobile devices and stuff?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have a spy game that I saw an ad for on TV, right? Where you kind of have to, it's like a kind of mafia or werewolves type game where you have to figure out the spy and one of you is or something.
Yeah, I think there's one called Hidden Agenda. Which is
that's the one I'm thinking of.
A sort of detective investigation type thing, which looks really good, actually. I saw the trailer as well. I don't know if these have been released yet, these other games.
So you have to have the PS4 as the kind of hub, and then everybody joins into that, so
other people can come along and just download the appropriate app on their phone. And then you can join in and make. So it's a very interesting idea. Like how I think I haven't heard a lot of people talking about it, but I think it's got a lot of possibilities.
Do you think does PlayLink backwards compatible to the PS3?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not. No.
Oh well.
Yeah. So I think so in particular this game, That's You, the one I've tried. I think it's a really really good game to play with the family, and it's really fun, very very simple to do, so very very adaptable for non-gamers. You know, there's you know, the pretty much everyone knows how to use their phones. So.
Just describing it, it reminds me, I was looking through the app stores the other day, and there's something called, I think, something like Jackbox Party Pack, which I saw.
That's right. That's on Steam as well. Jack in the Box.
It sounds similar to that. You can all play the same game through the same app, but you're all joining in via your mobile phone.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the future of Christmas party
games. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it seems could like if you've got like one person who's a gamer in the group, and then they can sort of go, no, you can join in with this. You know, I think it's a very clever idea. So I don't know. I think it's got a lot of potential. Yeah. That's what I would be playing this Christmas with my family. If we were going to be in the same country,
I'll tell you though. with Sean's Pictionary, I'd have to say that the equivalent in our family or my extended family would be Monopoly. Oh. That had 1989 probably was the year. That Monopoly,
as we've all decided, this is a trope of this program. You know, we'll go back to it occasionally. Monopoly is no good.
Oh, I know. Yeah, because that's such a crappy game.
Is the world's most boring game? Yes.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Well, no, we've said enough. All right. But shall we take a little break and then come back and talk about our game of the episode?
Sounds good.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us at Are You Game Pod on Twitter and Are You Game Podcast on Facebook.
Okay, so we're back, and in this part of the podcast, we talk about a game that we're playing at the moment. It doesn't have to be a new game; it's just something that just a game that is taking up our current time. So, since I'm asking the question, I'll go to Lindsay first. What you're playing?
Well, am I bringing to the table? I'm going to bring two things to the table. One thing that I'm playing quite a lot, and a more recent discovery that I didn't warn you guys that I was going to bring this, but it's pretty awesome. The first thing I'm going to bring is a game on the tablet that I've been playing, Hades Star, which is, I'm playing it on the iPad. It is a 4X space game. So 4X is a genre of game. If you're not, you guys know what 4X is, right? Exploration. Oh my gosh, I can't remember.
Okay. I've got it. Ready? Explore, expand, exploit, and exterminate.
Exactly. I wondered if exterminate was on it. Okay.
1993, that term was coined.
So it's a 4X game for the tablet. It's played, you have to have an online connection all the time. So I usually only play it at home. And you start off with a little little star of your own, and you have to colonize your planets and things like that. And then as you get better, you visit these red stars, where you can go get artifacts, and you have to fight the enemy ships in there. But that's where you see the other players playing also go to the red stars, but you can't fight against them. But that's where you kind of interact with them. And then you can eventually establish diplomatic ties with another player. And basically you continue building your own little universe, your own galaxy, and visiting other people's galaxies and seeing what they look like and clearing kind of the AI enemies from your galaxy and these red stars. It's good.
I'm trying to get the game mechanics. There's no end goal. You're not trying to
There is an end goal. You have to explore your whole galaxy, and also it works on credits. You're moving shipments around from planet to planet, which after a while you're sort of like, I'm doing this. Why? To get more points or get more credits. So why? So that I can buy a ship to do what? To get more credits. To do what? To buy a bigger ship.
Can you accelerate the process with money, with real money?
A little bit, but it really isn't a pay to win. So there is a payment thing, but like to make any kind of meaningful dent, you'd probably have to pay like tons of money. So it's sort of like, you know, kind of casual. It reminds me of what James said in the previous episode, a clicking, the point and click kind of games, like just, I kind of do it just sort of like mindlessly, like do a few trade shipments. I like the sound effects. I like seeing the stars and stuff like that, but it's very abstract. Like the ships are sort of like little icons. They're not even really spaceships. But That's what's been taking up my time. And another game that I just recently discovered, and I maybe want to talk about in another episode, is another scary game that a friend of mine got for me during the Steam sale, Friday the 13th, the video game, which is hilariously awesome. This is really good. I'll just quickly tell you, in this one, it's like a multiplayer, and you go in and you are randomly assigned either a camp counselor, so you're one of five camp counselors, five or six, or you are Jason. And if you're Jason, you have to kill all the camp counselors. And if you're a camp counselor, you have to try to escape either in the car or in the boat. Jason has powers that are developing over the course of the game, which is 20 minutes. You can kill Jason, but it's so hard that it's almost impossible to do. So basically you're running around trying to hide from Jason. The music's done really well. The graphics are great. It's really scary. It's so funny. It's also got a thing called proximity chat, so that when you get close to another camp counselor, you can actually talk to them. So like,
is it an online game? Yeah. Did I miss that?
Yeah, it's online. You're playing online. And so the first game I was playing, I managed to get to the car and I had the car keys. And so I got in the car and this other person's there in the car. And I hear a girl's voice come through my mind and says, "Do you have the keys? Do you have the keys?" And I'm like, so I press the T button to talk. I'm like, "Yes, I have the keys." She says, "Well, start the car. And then we hear the music that Jason's coming. And then I hear like two other people in the back of the car. I'm hearing, start the fucking car. And I'm trying to press the button. And all of a sudden, Jason's hands like come through the window, pull the girl out in front of my very eyes. My character starts screaming. I'm like desperately, everyone's like screaming at me, "Start the car, drive." And then I hear like someone going, He's a noob. This is his first game. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And I'm watching everyone get pulled out of the car, and then I'm just hearing them go, "Oh my god!" And then someone rage quit just in the middle of that whole thing. And then I'm like, "Someone take the keys!" And I try to get out of the car to give the keys to another one of the better players, and they're like, "Don't get out of the car! Just drive, idiot!" And I drove, and I ran one of them over. And then the guy playing Jason, suddenly I hear his voice, and he's laughing. He's like, "Nice one!" And he left me for last. And so he kills everyone else, and then he grabs me, takes me out of the car, and you know, hits me with an axe or whatever, or strangled me or something. It's very funny, so definitely recommend that one. Anyway,
so when you say it was bought for you, you're buying the online access.
No, a friend of mine had been playing it, and he's really big into horror games, and he'd been desperate for me to join in, and I'd been on the fence because I have such a backlog of games. So I was like, yeah, maybe, and then all of a sudden, you know, during the Steam sale, it says, "I can't wait anymore. I bought it for you. You've got to come and play with me." So
yeah, but what I'm getting at is just an online. You're just basically paying to go online and play it. That's what the game is. Not. It's not like a. There's no.
It's installed. First person. It's installed. I know. There's no single player.
Right.
You have to play. So it's like playing Destiny or any of those multiplayer games. But this is like one versus five or six people. So it's cool in that way.
It sounds very good.
All right. That's what I've brought.
Well, I'll go next, I think, and because the excitement of I'm bringing Zelda to the table because I'm playing Zelda. I finally cracked and got a Switch. And Zelda Breath of Wind. Oh my word! What a game! I love it. It's beautiful.
So we've got a new game. We've got a new console. I mean, this is quite exciting. You know, there's a lot.
I'm not a fan of. Of these kind of commercialized days that have appeared late in the year, but the offer was too good to be true on one a week or so ago. So I cracked and said to my family, when my family said, "What do you want for Christmas?" "Oh, I'll have the funds to buy this." So I bought one with Zelda, and it's everything you've ever read about it. If you've read about it, it's just the most beautiful of games. And given I also have, I currently have still as sorry have as well the retro Nintendo Entertainment System. So I have the first Zelda on that, and I have the current iteration on that. It's interesting to see how the game has developed, really, from this pixelated little thing going around a screen to essentially what is an open open world game now. You just walk around and do what the hell you like. It's fabulous. I think the Zelda stories are well known. So in this case,
not to me, Sean. I have to say, I've never played it. So.
Oh my God, that makes two of us. I never went for Zelda either. I missed the
totally
boat
passed,
on Zelda.
100%. Totally passed me by. No reason. It just never.
Same here.
Never connected. No. So go on. Go ahead.
Well,
convince us.
So obviously, I mean, in Zelda, you've got you're kind of looking for Princess Zelda. So you're playing Link, this character. You wake up in a world. I mean, the first game was in the 1980s, 1987, I think, off the top of my head, I'm thinking, when Nintendo first started. And they're essentially puzzle games with a bit of violence in, so you walk around, things attack you, and there are puzzles to solve. You solve the puzzle, and then you move on to the next one. But in this, in the Switch version, so in Breath of Wind, you can do what you like. There are quests, but you can do anything. You don't have to do part one to get to part two to get to part three. You can just walk around and do what you like in any order you like. There is a quest as I was saying to Lindsay when we spoke earlier last night, I just sat for 2 hours going around the island, and I was quite happy just walking around, seeing what I could do, climbing things, going down on things. But it's the detail in the game, and obviously people, if you've got serious, what people call the serious consoles like the Xbox or PS, there's a bit snooty about the graphics on the Switch, and yeah, then perhaps don't live up to that standard of 4K graphic. But this is a cartoon-esque game in the way it's designed. You know, it's things like the shadow. So when you're climbing up stuff, the shadow is in proportion. That all the grass moves in the wind. I was standing at a hill. I came across a big rock, and I just pushed it and watched and just looked down and watched this rock roll and roll and roll and roll. You know, it rolled and then it stopped because they didn't think that was enough. It just kept rolling until it got to a point where it had reached the bottom of a hill. So it's that kind of thing that I just find the amazing detail for a game, which I'm essentially playing on a 6.2-inch screen at the moment, because obviously on the Switch you can pick it up and play with it in your hand, or you can put it on the TV. It's just fabulous. I just love it. And it's really tough. I mean, there's a number of things I like. It's really tough. I've died so many times already. I mean, you're pretty much walking around. Of course, you start with nothing, and then you get attacked immediately, so you're dead. And then you find weapons. Your weapons break, and so you have to keep finding new weapons. There's no long backstory, so you wake up and go, okay, where am I? You know, we talked in a previous episode about things that annoy us. It's just beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. I'll start trying to achieve the quests before we speak next, but you know, it's just, I found it immensely pleasurable just to wander around.
So what are your sort of first impressions then of the console of the Switch itself? How, you know, with the controls and everything and all this portability aspect.
I guess I'm playing it like an old what was the PlayStation what did Sony do that was a handheld one game?
Like a PSP.
Yeah, I used to have a PSP.
I'm kind of
treating it in that format at the moment. So you know, because you can obviously pull the controls off and stand the cinema. I haven't really done that yet, so I've got the controls just always on. When I've only dabbled with it on the telly, making the screen up, but that was the only time I've detached the controllers. But if you've played on a PSP, I find it very similar to that. The controls, they're very intuitive. I didn't with it. There's a lot of them. There's the joy on the left and on the right, and then there's four buttons left and right, and then there's the you know like on a controller, the buttons for your the other side, and then there's two under that. But I found it really easy to kind of pick up and use, actually, to be honest. I've not worried about the controller at all. You know, sometimes when you start playing a game, you go, oh, which button does that? I can't remember. And I might come across that in other games, but I found it interesting. And the graphics are, obviously, I'm a tablet gamer of all the things that of all the different games I've got, and they are. I mean, I found the graphics of Zelda better than anything I've yet to play on my iPad Pro. So It's interesting. It's a bit of a sad outlay, but I desperately want to play Zelda, so there's a lot of money just to play a game, I guess. But I'm interested, and Skyrim's just come out as well for it, so, you know, queuing up, and Resident Evil's about to come out, so I think there's enough games for it to keep my attention, but really enjoying Zelda, I must admit. I can see why everybody raves about it now. So, finally, this James, and I obviously know what James is going to talk about, and I find it very interesting, Lindsay, because,
I'm pumped for this part.
Obviously, we've known each other a fair while, and it's one of the I think, most shocking revelations that that James has ever made to us is that he doesn't like board games.
No, whoa. Hold on. Now, that was in a very different context that I made that.
Okay.
No. I never said I don't like board games, but I'm not. As you know, when it comes to board gaming, that's for you. That's mainly the domain of you guys, right? And that's just historical reasons. It's not really been something I've been particularly interested in. I haven't really paid much attention to, especially the Renaissance in the last few years. I've been aware of it, but I hadn't paid too much attention to it, because I love playing video games, and they take up, you know, enough of my time and money, and I didn't really have enough time to do any more. But
go on, James. What are you quite literally bringing to the table, or what table did you quite literally visit?
Well, yeah, I'm not quite literally bringing an experience. So I had my first board game cafe experience. I thought you'd like to know about that, as you are the board gamers around here, not me.
Yeah, you finally have some respect.
Thanks.
So what was it like? Because, I mean, obviously I live in the UK, you don't. I live in Oxford, where there is a very famous board gaming cafe. And that's pretty much, you go in, it's got pretty much any game you can think of to sit down and play. So how does it compare?
So here, my first question would be, like, selection. Was there a large amount?
Well, so I'm going to give a big plug to the cafe itself, because they deserve it, because they're a little, you know, there's an independent outfit. And so if any of our listeners happen to live in Brasilia, in Brazil, where I live, the place was called Ludoteca. And so it's got two floors, does very nice food. And the selection is huge, absolutely massive. I took some photos, so I'll put some photos on our Facebook and on Twitter for people to have a look. But huge, huge selection.
Okay.
I mean, you'd have to go there every day for about 5 years, I think, to play all the games.
All right,
it was massive.
All right, I'm going to keep quizzing you then. Hold on, John. How many games did you get through, and how many hours were you there?
So I think I was there for about 4.5 hours.
Okay. Good. A good amount.
And a respectable amount, I think. And we did four games that time, I think.
I was going to say, that amount of time, you can either do one really heavy game, or you can dabble and do quite a few games, or sometimes you'll play like the same game twice or three times.
Yeah, so a friend of mine goes there a lot, and I don't know exactly which game it is that he plays, but it's a kind of Star Wars game with the trading cards, and I think they have to build their different ships and things. I don't know if you know this one. But
miniatures? Has it got miniatures?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Imperial Assault. All
okay.
Right. Yep. Okay.
So, and he's really, really, he goes there every week to play just to play this game. So they sit there like the regulars.
It could be X-Wing Fighter as well.
Okay.
Anyway.
So he goes there every week to play. You know, so there are people like that who are there when you arrive, who are just, and they'll be there until it closes, and they're just playing this one game. You know, in fact, recently they had a tournament of this game that he participated in, I know. But
I think it's probably X-Wing Fighter.
Right, okay.
I love the way that Lindsay sat there going, is it this game? Is it that game? Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. I'm out of my depth on that. That's way beyond me. But yeah, so... But there was a lot of, people like me there who were there for fun, just to play some different games. A really nice mixture of ages. Well, I mean, I was at the older end of the spectrum of people there. But it was pretty like 50-50 between men and women. And yeah, it was a really nice atmosphere and mixture, I thought.
So what did you play?
Well, I mean, you won't be surprised, but the because we mentioned it before, but the main game that we played was Secret Hitler.
Okay.
Amazing. I think there was
okay
nine or ten of us playing.
Oh wow! Oh, that makes a good Secret Hitler game.
So it was fantastic. I mean, we played that for a couple of hours, and I won't go, I mean, talk about it in our first episode, but it is an amazing game, and it was brilliant. It was so good, you know. It was fantastic to play there.
That game creates stories of its own that you could be talking about for weeks afterwards.
I feel left out now. I need to go play it. I need to go find 700 people just to go play it.
It's so good. And then we also played Spyfall, which I hadn't played before.
That's great too.
Which I really liked. I mean, we didn't play for too long, so I don't feel like I really, you know, got to know it. But we played a couple of rounds, and we did that while we were waiting for people to come. So it's got. Mm-hmm. So I definitely like to play that again. And we played a game called Quartz. I don't know if you know that
called
one.
What?
Ooh, don't know that
Quartz.
One.
Quartz.
Okay. Quartz.
No. So it's a game based around mining. And you have to mine for different gems, and different gems have different qualities and are worth different amounts. So you have to try and collect the most valuable amounts. And then there are different cards that you can play. So you can take gems from other people, but then you can play another card to stop them from doing that. And then that was really good. I mean, I did very badly. I was very unlucky. There's a particular gem that if you get two of those, then you're out. Your mine explodes. And that in the first round, that happened to me like within about 2 minutes. So I was really unlucky.
Oh,
but the rounds don't last too long.
It's a quick game then.
It's about 15 minutes. But and then you play more than one round. You know, I think there are five rounds in total.
The description begins: dwarves are among the bravest, determined, and hard workers creatures you can find. Way to sell a game.
I recommend it. I really enjoyed it. It was really good. And then the final game we played was with a smaller group, the ones of us left at the end. I think there was four of us playing Camel Up. You know this game? Camel Up.
Camel Up.
Yeah. So it's a game which is about camel racing, set, I think, in ancient Egypt, or I think there's definitely a pyramid thing going on. You have to kind of bet on which camel you think is going to win the race. It's about a 20 to 30 minute playing time. And I won that one. So obviously, it's a fantastic game. And that's how it works, right?
It was.
Yeah.
It was the game of the year in 2014.
Oh, wow. Okay. I can't stand the artwork on the cover of that, but I can imagine it probably is a pretty good game.
What sells it to me, it's got just stackable camels.
I do like the pyramid that kind of sticks up there. That looks cool. And the stackable camels look cool. It's just the box cover.
The pyramid's got dice in it. So you take the pyramid, you shake it, and then you sort of pull a little door on the top across, and then the dice comes out.
Nice.
And then
it's like a dice tower.
So it's quite nice. It's very nicely designed. So that was really good. But generally the whole experience was, I really enjoyed it because we had a big group of us, and it was a lot of fun. And I've been wanting to do this for quite a long time because I love games, you know. And so, knowing that there are all these kind of games out there,
Final question: are you going to go back?
Yes, definitely. I keep hinting to my friends who are going, "Oh, should we?" I think it's time for us to go back, right? So, I'll definitely try and get back in the next couple of weeks because it's. I really enjoyed it, but not only that, I think that, you know, for a business like that, if you have people who've done that kind of thing, then you've really got to try and, you know, support them as much as you can because I can't imagine it's that easy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, they're doing it by themselves. So I think it's fantastic.
Is it a pay-to-play model? So you pay?
Yeah, you pay.
Do you pay to play the game?
Yeah, you pay, but it wasn't very much. And then that lasts, you know, for hours. And you can play any game you want. And they've, like I said, they've got hundreds of games. So it's very good value. And yeah, you can, you know, awesome. You can get some food. And yeah, I thought the whole experience was really fantastic. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Marvellous. Welcome to our world, James.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Yeah. No, now I know you what you've been going on about all these years.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we've got horror, space, fantasy, and a physical cafe. That's an interesting mix of games.
That's a
in the
pretty
podcast.
Good mix. Yeah. That's yeah. a pretty good mix.
And camels. We've got some camels as well.
Sounds like a good place to leave it.
Yes, it does. Now, before we leave, let me just mention, of course, that we have our Facebook page. Just do a search for RU Game. And we're on Twitter as well with RU Game Pod. If you search for those, you can find us. And if you want to like and subscribe, then that's always useful. So you can find this podcast on all your regular podcast places, so hit the subscribe button and then you can guarantee to get the new episode whenever they emerge arriving there on your device.
Well, all right, happy gaming everyone.
Thanks guys.
All right, see you next time. Bye everyone.